I guess it probably wasn't till I moved here back in 1976 that I ever heard anyone say the expression, "You want to go with?" Or, "Let's go with." I haven't forgotten that. It has stayed with me. That's not an expression you say in the Shenandoah Valley that I know of. I don't know if they just didn't have very many from German background or what, but it was a, I was a fast learner. I finally figured out what it meant. It's sort of like some other expressions I learned while I was here. Well, that's sort of where the title came from, "Let's Go With." Has to do with the call of Jesus. The world today is filled with things and with people who are calling for our attention, our time, and our interest. If you've ever been to the mall, ha ha ha, you know of the allure of possessions. This consumerism calls us to yield resistance and obey its summons. There are these music voices floating through the air, trying to soothe our anxieties. There are flashing lights, you've seen them, and posters in neon colors that beckon our attention. There are these mechanical toys, well, we may not always call them toys, but that attempt to captivate our attention. There are these smart phones and pads trying to massage our brains. Consumerism wants us to follow its call. But the brighter world also has other calls and allures. There's the allure of knowledge. Science says, for example, "Give your life in service to the world and humanity through me. Cure the deadly diseases of our day. Discover some great law of the universe and harness it for the service of humanity. Or build with your inventive mind some creation that will relieve the toil and suffering of humanity. Surely these are some great fields of opportunities for service that will bring both good to the world and honor." There is also in the world the allure of power. Capitalism says to us, "Those who control the capital of the world have their hands on the steering wheel of the world affairs. Invest your life with me and dominate the world. Wealth is power." The voice of capitalism speaks with a silvery tongue and uses glittery gold words to charm the hearts of those of us who would stop to listen. And then there's the allure of security that comes from nationalism. Our nations say to us, "See the world under the protection of your flag. Enlist in the armed services. We need a few good men and women. Give your life in service of your country and its flag. Protect home and family against them." Them, of course, changes all the time. Nationalism would seduce us to do its bidding, hoping that we would give country our blind obedience and even kill for the nation. Among these and all the other voices, there comes yet another voice to the ears of all. It's the quiet, alluring voice of Jesus pleading, "Follow, follow me." These were very simple words that he uttered centuries ago. By the shore, to rugged fishermen forsaking their nets, Peter, Andrew, James, and John dropped it all and followed Jesus. Jesus uttered these words by the urban bureaucracy to a tax collector, and Levi abandoned his tax table and followed. He uttered the words by the bustling streets to a city citizen, and Philip followed his lead along with Andrew and John. Jesus called through the ages, "Follow me." And then there arose Francis of Assisi, Martin Luther, Alexander Mack. And still his patient voice is pleading, "Follow, follow me." Jesus calls us to follow. Now, most of us recognize Jesus as our Savior, and some of us will say as our Lord. Our call, though, is to follow in a more definite way than just that. Our call is to follow everywhere. Leaders in battle usually stay back and give orders for other people to charge the enemy, to take this or go do that. But Jesus moves ahead and calls us to follow. Jesus leads the way. He does not ask us to go where he has not already gone. He met temptation in all points, opposition of both friends and enemies, disappointment, hardship, abandonment, abuse and suffering, even to the torturous agony of the cross. And even today, he bids us to go, but he's already there. Jesus leads the way and says, "Follow, follow me." He asks us to follow him in our daily lives, to be evidenced in how we treat family members, how we treat our wife, how we treat our husband, how we treat our children, how we treat our parents, how we treat our neighbors, and even how we treat ourselves. How we treat a passing stranger, or someone who disagrees with us, or someone who would do us harm. He says, "Follow me," in our service, asking us to work for social justice. He asked us to follow him in our sacrifice, a commitment to reconciliation and healing among all people. He calls us to follow him in our faith and our trust in God, expressed in acts of piety, of worship, devotion, tithing, study of Scripture, and the like. There are some conditions related to this call of Jesus. I can think of three key concepts. Isn't it typical of a sermon? Oh. One of those is to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. The fisher folk left their nets and their family business to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus wholeheartedly, Philip forsook all and followed Jesus. Philip was a city person. His home was in Bethsaida, also called a hometown of Andrew and Peter. Together they formed a cell for Jesus' followers and brought others into the Jesus movement. So you see, we can form cells that do something other than destruction. We can form cells that create and heal. Following Jesus wholeheartedly, there were these, not everyone can do it. There were the would-be disciple, you remember, who said, "I want to be your disciple, Jesus. Can I follow you?" And he said, "Well, okay." He said, "Well, but first, I got to go bury my father." Now, there's no indication necessary that his father was even dead yet. But he said, "I got to go bury my father." And Jesus said, "Follow me. Let the dead bury the dead." It's a strange answer. But for Jesus, the most important thing was follow me. Then there was the rich young ruler, at least that's what we call him. You remember the story. He comes to Jesus and says, "What do I have to do to be perfect?" And Jesus says, basically, "Follow the commandments." And he lists the commandments. And he says, "I've done all that." And he says, "Okay, there's one more thing. Now, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." Very few of us like that story. And you remember what happened. He shook his head and went away because it was more than he could do. And it was at that point that Jesus was in sorrow, the scripture tells us. But Jesus respected his decision. I've always been fascinated by that. He didn't run after him and say, "Well, maybe you don't have to sell everything, just maybe half your stuff." He didn't try to bargain with him. He didn't try to twist his arm. He didn't try to force him into the kingdom. He honored his decision. He gave an honest opportunity, and then he listened to what the man said and let him go his way. I wonder if there's something we could learn about how we could honor each other more in that story. The second word that comes to my mind in relationship to following Jesus is doing it resolutely. It means embracing the call no matter what the cost. Remember, no one ever said following Jesus would be easy. I know our society likes to make it sound like it's easy. All you got to do is say you love Jesus and you trust him and everything will be fine. Not so. There's nothing in the Bible that says it that way. That's not the promise. Following Jesus resolutely means we are prepared to accept the inconveniences. A scribe, you may remember, went to approach Jesus once and said, "Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus' response was, "Hey, even foxes have holes and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." There are times when we must embrace the inconveniences of life if we're going to follow Jesus. It doesn't mean everyone will have the same inconvenience, but there are times when we'll have to give up stuff that we may have enjoyed. It means to follow him resolutely. I keep thinking that's a voice from heaven. What on earth? They did a good job with that one, didn't they? It means being prepared to accept persecutions. Jesus said, you may remember, "If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. Because you do not belong to the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." The basic point in there is if everyone likes you, you're probably doing something wrong. If there isn't some misunderstanding, you better pay attention to what you thought it meant to be a Christian. To follow Jesus means you're going to be championing the underdog. If you're not, the world will love you because the world loves to take advantage of other people. That's part of the plan. The third word is to follow Jesus faithfully. And that means accepting whatever may come, including its rewards. There are some rewards to following Jesus, but it may not always mean what we think it might mean. It certainly does not mean everything's going to go our way. And in this church, we know this. We've lived with this long enough. We know that following Jesus doesn't mean you necessarily are going to get rich. And it doesn't mean you're going to, you know, it's not, following Jesus isn't the same as going to bed early. You know the phrase. Go to bed early makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Isn't that the way it goes? It's not the same thing. Jesus never promised disproportionate wealth to those who follow him. Jesus never promises health to those who follow him. That's not the promise. But the rewards come at least in two key ways. One is a freedom of conscience. To ask ourselves, what would Jesus do, or what would, better yet, what would Jesus have me do? And then to respond in the way that we believe would be most pleasing to Jesus can lead us to a freedom of conscience. Ethical choices are so much more difficult today, I think, than they were probably in the time of Peter, Andrew, and Mary, and Martha. But given the grace of God made clear in Jesus Christ, we can do our best and leave the rest to the Sustainer and Redeemer. We are asked only to do our best. A freedom of conscience is a wonderful gift. And then there's the gift called eternal life. And once again, it may not necessarily mean exactly what we think. I said there's no promises of wealth or health, but a reward of following Jesus is wisdom that begins in knowing God. The knowledge of God that's that type leads to a healing far deeper than the flesh and reaches beyond the grave. That healing leads to a wealth that is measured by eternal standards of right relationships. The primary meaning of the phrase eternal life in the Bible is a quality of life. It's to live so whole and rich of a life that's dependent upon the grace and wisdom of God that it overflows all boundaries, even the boundary of death. So what then does it mean to follow Jesus? It means to live a life such as he lived and taught us. His was the life of service, reconciliation, justice, and he demonstrated a trust in God's goodness, love, and presence. He came into the world to establish the kingdom of God. God's reign is not a list of rules to be obeyed, but a way of life to be lived. He could establish it best by demonstrating it in his own life, and so he did. From the beginning to the end, Jesus served his sisters and brothers. This reign of God is to be continued and promoted in the world if we're following Jesus. Jesus is in the service of the ruler of the universe. We are called to serve a royal realm, embracing all nations, a reign with worldwide interest, which seeks the good of all people instead of a select few at the expense of others. To serve in such a realm as the reign of God is a far greater challenge than any knowledge, power, security promised by science, capitalism, or nationalism, or consumerism. To serve under the reign of God is to follow Jesus, to go with Jesus. The world today is filled with calls for our attention of time and interest. With whom will you go? With whom will I go? As of old, he called fishers when they walked by Galilee. Still, his patient voice is pleading. Follow. Follow. His voice is pleading. Follow. Follow me. Sisters and brothers, what could be more satisfying than